are listening to Those Casual Reds with Casey Gale, Jeremy Sanchez, and Mikey Douglas, only on LA Talk Radio.
So you know the deal. It's time for Those Casual Reds with Casey Gale on LA Talk Radio.
Yes, I'm Casey Gale. I'm a casual red. This is LA Talk Radio. Once again, we're brought to you by Berloren Malukian LLP, one of the finest law firms in Southern California, with a 96 or 98% success rate. Just remember, they handle all personal injury. I saw them handle a lady get hit by an Amazon truck today, Johnny. But they didn't legally go over there, but, you know, things got sorted out. 747-444-4444. Ask for Ashat, Vahe, Ani. David just passed his bar today. And Hike, the boss. Fabulous staff. They represent everybody here on the show. They represent everybody but Mikey. All right, guys, bring everybody in. How we doing, this beautiful panel of Reds? Aren't we excited to be here to talk about Manchester United football? I am more than thrilled to talk about it. Let's do a little roll call. Let me start with the gentleman in the studio first. Cheese, how you doing?
I'm just here to flex my beautiful good looks.
Good luck
to everyone tonight, and I'm also here for anger management and therapy. I have a lot of experience in those departments, so I got you guys if you're flying off the handle.
You know, I had the therapist tell me that therapy is everywhere in life. You just got to know how to apply it and use it.
Exactly.
Germ!
I'm just here to, you know, hang out with my casual Reds and see what everyone's got to say about our state of our football club. Big shout out to Mikey, Mike, and Sean.
Let's start with my man in P-Berg, Aliquip. You ever heard of Aliquip in high school?
I have, yeah.
Yeah, but buddy played O-line for him. He never shuts up about them. But anyway, Sean, what's going on, my brother? How you doing?
I'm doing good, man. I'm glad to be back on. I'm doing okay after the weekend, surprisingly. So I had a time to sleep on it and reflect. But
it was weird for it to be on a Monday. To feel that way on a Monday. Oh. Bandito Mike, how we doing, brother?
Yes, chilling on a Tuesday, representing Angel City Gibbers out here in LA.
I'm throwing up gag signs. I'm in Drake's crew now.
Oh, you better be careful.
And my brother, representing ATL, those Atlanta Reds, Big Mikey. I'm interested to hear you talk so much tonight.
Possibly,
though. But how you doing, brother?
I'm good, man. Shout out to a man like Jadon Sancho, who chose himself, bet on himself, and now he's playing in the final and not in eighth with this ragtag bunch of criminals.
It's funny. I thought about Jadon Sancho today in a weird way. Pause. And I remember how decent he looked in the summer, and he was playing like a false nine.
Yep, great preseason.
Boy, that all went away fast. Summer was interesting, because I remember one thing I remember in summer is the backups played better than the starters. It's a weird season. Yesterday was a weird game. I saw a lot of predictions for yesterday's game. Sean, what was your prediction for the game yesterday? I didn't see yours. What did you think?
2-1 to Man United.
Brilliant.
I knew we were going to concede at some point, but I expected our offense to at least score a goal. As I went with 2-1. So
since you're already there, tell me about your expectations. What happened yesterday? What did you get out of yesterday's match? Are you numb?
Yeah, a load of shit, to be honest with you. It was fucking awful. I have not seen, like, I've been watching United since the 80s. That has got to be by far one of the worst performances I've ever seen. Just shambolic all the way around. Casemiro needs gone instantly. I don't even know why we're playing him at center back. There's got to be a youth player that plays better than Casemiro did yesterday. I don't care if he's 18. There's three games left. Bring somebody up. Just someone's got to be better.
Yeah.
But overall, it was just shambolic.
Yeah, it was pretty. It was pretty tough. I've heard words like embarrassing, shambolic, disastrous, cowardly, and those were the good words. That's, you know, good curse. I heard a lot of C-U-N-T words, but
I will say this: shout out to the United fans that did not shut up that entire game. Like they outsang the Palace fans. Like they did not deserve that game yesterday. Yep.
They sure didn't deserve that, and it's a lot of we didn't deserve this year. And the away crowd, we'll talk about them later, but they were magnificent. You could hear them on, because I listened to the game. You could hear them. You can hear them. You know,
Old Trafford, better than the home crowd. Like when we were at home, it's like they were louder that at Palace than we are at Old Trafford.
True fans go to the away games.
That's what the Jibs do. Big Mike, tell us, how do you feel? I saw an interesting quote from you yesterday in the WhatsApp group. I mean, in the Messenger, but I'm not going to put you on blast. I was shocked. I did take a picture of it, though. I did screenshot it, what you said.
Damn. Receipts.
Write it down. Take a picture. I don't give a damn. Get Ten Hag out of this club. Get him out.
Wow.
Get him out. I want him gone. He could go to Bayern. Have fun at Bayern. I'll tell you why. This is how I came to the conclusion. I've been a part of the Ten Hag Defense League all year, okay? Oh, I have. But Sean hit it right on the head right there. He was one. That's one fact. There has to be a 21, 18, hell, a 16-year-old kid that could do better at what Casemiro did there. But okay, fine. You want to scrub that? That's fine. Amad is still not starting. You're still choosing Anthony, who gives us absolutely nothing in games that you claim that we still need that you're not throwing. Right? Okay, cool. You don't want to do that. Fine. Still taking forever to make subs. We're out of the game. We come out. Yeah, there's no players there. So try things. Just try. Try something new. You're sticking to your guns. You're sticking to this formation. This game, with all our injuries, called for a back five. Called for a back five to get something out of the game on the road against a team that's in form, that plays freely, and has attackers that are okay with you having the ball. Play a five. At least we get something out the game there. No. You set up this way. You put Eriksen in still, whose legs are gone. Casemiro, legs gone. Wan-Bissaka, who's home? This is his home. Gone. Absolutely nowhere. Every time he has the ball, looking absolutely insane. And I get we don't have wingbacks. We don't have a left back to replace him. That's cool. But you try things, and you still won't try. You still won't. And I just feel like he's lost these guys. And I'm going to be done after this, but like my man Chi said, it was giving Watford with Ollie. That's what it was giving. It's like they completely quit on him. And big up to Johnny Evans. Playing hurt, doing a Matador defense, but playing hurt, even though he would fail the medical right beforehand. He shouldn't be playing.
Yeah, it was, you know, I speaking on Johnny Evans, I played on a team that went 0-10 my junior year in college. Lost every game. Even lost to another team that was 0-9. It was the Dookie Bowl. It was on ESPN. That's what they called it. I know that season when we lost, like, got to seven losses, injuries start bothering people. Some guys like, oh, I got a bump, didn't want to play.
Yeah.
The fact that Johnny Evans failed the physical and said, I'm still going to play, you just got to question a lot of the character in these guys. I think a lot of these guys have quit. You know, Bandino, going into this game, some people said the result won't change a thing, that Ineos already has what they're going to do in mind. Do you feel there's a little bit of change now? I mean, look at Big Mikey. He's saying things now that we were been trying to say to him for a while, but he was like, give him time.
180, Mikey.
Well, what's come out is Ineos has not decided. Like, they could come out and say he's our guy and he's going to be here, right? They could make that statement. They've never made that statement. And through their leaks in the media, it's been they're planning with him for next season, but it's not been decided. Some in The Athletic are even saying, like, this is his job interview. This is his trial these last few games. And he's not looking too good on this trial. So is he doing himself any favors? No, he's not. He's not making changes. He's sticking with the same players that haven't given good results. And even though the 4-0 outcome is as bad as the performance. Like Sean was saying, this isn't 7-0, but we weren't expecting to compete with that, you know, that Liverpool team, or we're supposed to do Palace. You know what I mean? Like, this is not a team that's competing for trophies in Champions League or in Premier League. And it was a team that just, they had an idea. They worked together. They ran for each other. They were coordinated in their press, and they have some, you know, three attacking players that can, if you just let them dribble right into the heart of your attacking third, they're going to put the ball in the net. So it was, for me, not so much the result, but the performance was it was bobbins. It was so shocking.
Yeah, it was pretty shocking.
With that being said, sorry,
go ahead, Sean.
Casey, going back to Big Mikey there, like the players, you said the players are giving up, right? How many coaches do we have to go through, and how many players have to keep giving up on the coach? Like, I'm still Ten Hag in. I looked at what he did last year. I agree 100% wholeheartedly with you. He needs to make the changes. But how many times do we have to keep going through coach after coach after coach because the players don't – they just give up? How about we keep the coach, bring in the players that he wants? We now have the backroom staff to be able to go in and say, not spend 90 million on Anthony and spend 40 million on Anthony, giving us 50 million to spend on other players. I just feel with how he worked last year and compared to the injuries he's had this year, get the changes. He needs to make that. That's a problem in his game. But I still think give him until Christmas with the summer signings, because we all know he's not going to be 100% with those summer signings. We all know Ashworth is already working for Man United in the background. So I would say give him till at least Christmas. If things don't pick up in the beginning of New Year, then get rid of him. But we need to give him the summer.
How do you guys feel about that, to the summer? I mean, how long, Ten Hag's future? I honestly just don't see how he makes it. I feel like he's just another coach that's been damaged by this club and the system. He's just got the tail end of everything. I mean, I think a lot of these players feel like they know they're not going to be around, so he's just got the shit of the shit. But the problem is, like what Big Mike said, again, he's not trying to change anything. So for me, that's troublesome, because we want a coach who's going to be special. We want a boss who's going to, like, listen, I'm not going to sit here and watch this shit happen every week. And he hasn't shown that this year. Last year, Ten Hag was doing a lot of different things. This year, it's like, I don't know if he's just beaten down. I honestly think, I'm just going to keep it this simple. I don't know how you guys feel about it. I just think the job is just beating him up. Mm-hmm. And he just might be damaged goods. And I know what Sean's saying. Why would we bring another coach and keep the cycle? Ineos is probably saying, I had nothing to do with that cycle. Mm-hmm. So,
see,
go ahead, Big. Go ahead, Mac.
The thing is, you know, that was my thing, right? Yeah. For a long time.
Yeah, you bang. Pause.
100% agree with that, right? But you're the manager of Manchester United, right? These kind of performances cannot run. They can't run. We're supposed to turn over these teams. It's not just Palace. It's Brentford.
Bournemouth.
It's Fulham. It's having the lead and losing it. How many guys do you guys honestly think we're going to get in because we don't do good business in wintertime. So summer's going to have to be it. You think we're going to make 10 signings and sell six players? No. And then if I'm a player coming in like Michael Elise that played yesterday, that's supposedly a red and he wants to come over, right? If I just banged two goals against you and walked in, why would I come to you when the whole world just seen me do this? Why would I want to come to you? You guys look like you're in disarray. Why? It's not appetizing to come to Man United no more. Maybe 2 years ago, you're like, okay, they have something going on, and maybe I could work with that. You know, they got Pogba, and they got Bruno, and they got this guy and that guy. We could Ronaldo's there. But now you have no assurances there when you get there, right? Why would you? And then you're not going to play Champions League football for a year at least.
You're not Why? Even in Europe, let alone Champions League. You're not even right. in Europe.
You might not even play in the Conference League now. So what's let's hit the big reset, because a lot of these guys have been here and quit on all these managers. They need to go too. But it starts with the management. And I hate to even say that given the injuries, which is crazy, but I also have a theory about that. I feel like Ten Hag's breaking these guys up.
Wow.
He's breaking them up in training. I feel like it's not just the backroom staff. I think it's their style of training that's not working as well. Because they're not getting hurt. The games are fine, but they're getting hurt on a Wednesday. On a Thursday, they're getting hurt. Right before the game, they're hurt. We're going to look at a guy like Maguire and say, hey, let's put you on wraps. Let's not play you. No, we're playing you because we have to, because everybody else is hurt. Fine. But we're not making the subs either, or bringing on these kids that can see out a game possibly. We're not doing that. I feel like it's a little bit of him too. I got to give him that. I tried to shield him. I just can't now. And it's just this is a new low for us, guys. We're finished. We are finished.
Yeah, it's
we're
tough.
Not going to win another game this season. I promise you that.
So performances like that pretty much sack a manager, right? And the thing is that it's not only been one performance that the players have given or Ten Hag has been a part of, right? So it's just been like to the breaking point where you just cannot defend him anymore, right? It's just like loss after loss. How many more matches do you got to go up there and show up? And like, you're Manchester United, but yet the quality just doesn't match, right? The name. We are, come on, against Coventry. I still go back to that one. Against Coventry, we let them come back. Do you not think that a team like Crystal Palace will have a chance to tie and let it known, beat us, which apparently happened, right? So, yeah, I'm still riding with Ten Hag in. But, yeah, a performance like yesterday is very hard to swallow and to be out here and defend them. Pause on that one.
Pause.
Jimmy, why did you pause defend him? I don't get that one. I'm lost by that one.
Oh, man.
You know, Bandito, I was trying to think, when's the last time we had a negative goal, anything? I know, I was just in the back of my mind. I was like, when was the last time that happened?
Yeah, I'm not sure this far in the season that we've been negative goal difference. It's...
The fact of the matter, Ten Hag. Oh, go ahead, Ben.
You guys have touched on a couple of things I want to piggyback on.
Go on, do
one
it.
One of them, you guys talked about belief, like the players don't believe, and the fans are starting to not believe, right? They're starting to question. At first, we said, yes, there's a lot of mitigating factors with injuries and this kind of thing, and square, you know, square pegs and round holes, but then it just comes down to, is he good enough? Mm-hmm. Is he the guy that's in the position now and the club want to move on and plan with him? But in their, you know, in their mind, they're, well, look, any well-run club already has a short list, right? And they're doing these interviews and they're seeing who is a possible replacement. That's just the way clubs do it, right? So they have this short list. And like you said, maybe they plan for the summer, and they see how it goes then. I don't know what you gain by sacking him now. I mean, yeah, you're like you said, I don't see us doing anything in the league. We've got some pretty tough games, and I don't even see us doing anything against Brighton. And, you know, City in a final, it's going to be painful.
Do you think so that should be just the new goal?
I don't know what City? You gain. What's that?
Should that be just the realistic goal for him right now, just to get the FA Cup? And let me ask you guys this crazy question. Sean,
it's the end of the season.
Can the FA Cup change your mind? A FA Cup victory.
Yes, because you're playing against City. So you get a result against City. Maybe you feel like, oh, there's hope for this guy because he beat a real opponent for once. And it was a final.
It depends on how we win.
Yep.
If we win convincingly, then I'll say, you know what? He outcoached Pep. Maybe there's some hope left. They got some belief in this team. They believe in him a little bit more. But if we lose 4-0, no. If we win on penalties, then I don't think it's going to be as strong as out and out winning the game. But it depends on how we win. If we come and we show, but like, I can't even think about us winning anything. We're not healthy enough. We're not good enough. And we're not, and we got to come into that game and defend for our lives for 90 minutes. That's how I see and take these guys to penalties. And after that, it's a lottery. And we have a keeper that can stop penalties.
Would you keep Shaw and Martinez out to the final? Because they're going to be back for the final. And Varane will be back too. So do you keep them out for the rest of the season?
Go full strength. Go full strength.
I'm even playing Martial.
I would. Oh, my.
Please, dear God, no. No.
Man.
Shut his mic up.
Oh, my goodness.
He can't do any worse, to be honest with you, though, can he?
Yeah, no, you're right.
And he loves a goal against City.
Mm-hmm. So. I've seen him bang two in against City.
Yeah, so he put him in, let these guys play full force, and hell, if they get hurt, at least they won't play in the Euros. We'll wrap them up.
Yep. It's crazy because what you say, Mike, like you can't even think about City at the moment, but yeah, even if we're at full strength, I still can't envision us like mustering up a win against them. It's just that result yesterday just kind of just deflates any hope that you've had or I've had even to get any W or even to derail Arsenal, but that's another topic.
I think this team has it in them if they show up and City has an off one and we do something tactically different, it can happen. As for playing Martinez, I honestly wouldn't play him. I wouldn't play him.
In the final either?
I'm done with Martinez for the season. I don't want to risk it.
Ooh.
I just feel like we keep rushing him, bring him back from injury, get hurt. Bring him back from injury. He's so good to us. I think I wouldn't play him. I wouldn't play him. I would play Shaw.
I think he's been the biggest miss of the season.
By far.
From our defense last year to this year, by far the biggest miss for Manchester United.
For what he brings on the pitch.
I'd like to make a formal apology to Bruno Fernandes.
Oh, yeah.
Bruno Fernandes. For all the slander I've given him, because look at what we look like without him.
That's a good segue. So
we haven't been great with him. We've lost 20 games with him, right, or something like that in all comps. But, like, look at what we look like without him. There's always a dark side.
Yeah, true. Some players, if you don't have the energy, they're something in the locker room. Without Bruno Martinez, we are Play-Doh. You just mold us and do what you want to do with us. Is that a pause?
Whoa.
Wow, sorry guys. Yeah,
you even forget that Mason Mount was on the pitch until
Oh my god, he was.
That cheese. Oh man.
I said that pre-show before we all signed in. I was like, he was an anonymous.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, guys go missing. I guess one thing about Bruno, he does it with his petulant way, he does keep people a bit accountable.
It's crazy because I did see some.
Who was the captain of this game? Sorry, Jeremy.
Oh, it was Casemiro, wasn't he? Casemiro.
Oh, my God.
Casemiro. And Casemiro, your captain, and keep in mind, the diving and the missing is just the game's gone by him, right? Games has gone by him. But, yeah, and that Bruno take, some people want to clamor or, like, would be like, hey, bring in Mount, start him up top. But you saw what you saw now. Jeez.
Not to defend Casemiro.
Oh, wow.
But in Casemiro's defense, he has no help. So we're like, our expectations of what, like, our expectations of him as an individual player are just way.
What do you mean he has no help?
I don't want to hear that.
No help. All I'm saying, Yeah, forget about his age. When he was at Madrid, he had Cruz and Modric. It wasn't like he was this superstar running the midfield. It was like that. It was that unit. He has no, like, he has Bruno. They don't have a third. Who's their third? Like, Kobe's just getting in there right now. Like, we just uncovered him as a gem. But, like, where's Casemiro's unit?
Go ahead,
where's his help?
Go ahead, Bandito.
For this game, he had no cover in front of him, and he kept getting forward, like, wanting to win the ball.
Yeah.
Yeah, on that one goal, he just left.
Yo,
he went to the midfield and he just left it wide open.
Sold himself.
He's lunging in for tackles and not making them.
Yeah,
he's lunging in for tackles, getting sucked in by pause. He's getting sucked in by the offense, right? But not big name players, Mateta, and men like that is skinning him alive. And this is big. They used to call him the Destroyer. That's what they called him at Real Madrid, the Destroyer, because he would break up play. He was good for that. He can't do it. We've seen him. Either he whiffs or he gives up the tackle or gets himself sent off. Thank God he's calmed down on doing that. But the guy's gone, man. His best days of football are behind him now. He touched the Space Jam ball. The energy's gone. You know what I'm saying? He's out of there. He's Charles Barkley now.
It was gone in the summer, man. Like, he came back overweight. He came back unfit. He was gone in the summer.
Yeah, he was a little
chunky. He did look chunky.
Eating cookie dough.
So he probably just wanted to show it for 1 year that he can play in the Premier League, and then just from there wrap it up.
He underestimated it.
Get his bag.
He got a big check. He got a nice big check. For his last, he'll probably be in Saudi or the MLS. He'll probably join that super team in Miami. You know, they could use another midfielder. Why not?
I'm looking forward to the summer. That's all I can say.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. So, based off of that, what you guys think? Will we get another win this season?
Mikey says
no. Do
we
have
no.
any comments?
I don't see any.
I don't see any. No, me neither.
If it's different on your
I got
feed.
One. It's.
I'll read it.
Who would you pick as captain yesterday?
Oh, that's a great question.
Johnny Evans.
Yeah, Evans.
Yeah.
Johnny Evans.
Johnny on the spot.
Yeah.
Poor Johnny. He's probably he's someone who was before and after. He's like, I didn't come for the shit. This is crazy.
I got a comment. Ronaldo says we got dog walk with Bruno and Rashi in the squad before. Yeah, but I mean, shoot.
Yeah, but there's something missing
more than what they did.
There's something missing. I'm about to say something terrible. Even without Rashi, something's missing. Am I wild for saying that?
No. We all watched the game.
Bruno's leadership. One thing you can't question. He's always there. And then when you have someone who's there all the time. It's just something these guys are probably used to seeing and depending on. And then you're leaning on Casemiro to lead? It's a tough one, but I don't know. I feel like my captain of the team is Martinez. If he was one, it would be him. It would be him.
So something that was missing from that match was you didn't have Bruno organizing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you had your two sixes, and they're not really sixes, Eriksen and Maino. That's not what they are, but we were so narrow that their front three didn't have to press us with an extra player because they're bending their run. So I'm pressing you and I'm keeping you from passing to the guy behind me. Right. So that's when we end up just playing long to our 550-pound wingers. And it's just the ball just comes back. They win the second ball. And then we're scrambling, and then they're back attacking again. So Casemiro or somebody had to just get in someone's ear and our shape and our space to get better. If Ten Hag's not going to get out on the touchline and start screaming at people, but you can see that all game.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
The biggest thing for me all year, and I've noticed this from the start of the season, we get dominated in every single game in midfield. I don't know who said it. Like, you're right. We got, you know, we got like Cobby's. He's not. He's going to be incredible, but he's also what, 19, 20. Mm-hmm. He's not ready to run that midfield just yet. We need someone that can hold that midfield, like a Declan Rice player, like someone that can just sit there, that's got the legs, that can run the whole game, kind of like Casemiro used to. But if we don't get that next year, we're done again. Every single game we get outplayed in the midfield.
Yeah, typically you've got your destroyer, who's your breaks at play, is the bully, shields the back four, and then you've got your eight, your box to box kind of guys, carries the ball, progresses the ball, and then you've got, you know, someone who plays a little higher, like Bruno, just is not a lot of defense, just be creative.
Do you think they're going to go after De Jong again this year?
Oh, God.
Oh, man. Dude, with that De Jong saga.
When he did the interview.
That interview was weird, right?
Yeah, it was like a love story, like writing a love poem to Frankie De Jong. Please come to Man United.
Frankie, you're the missing piece. That's all we
need. Yeah, didn't he attribute a lot of the stuff that the reason that he can't play like he did before because he didn't get De Jong?
Mm-hmm.
That's the reason he...
Yeah, but then you if you don't get that guy, you got to be able to, like, okay, let's do something different.
Yeah, you got to be able to have an adjustment on the fly, right?
Sean said our midfield's been ran through. Wolverhampton week one, we got ran through, and everybody was there.
Strain of defense. They straight.
You got saved. Onana gave up a penalty that he ended up getting karma for in the last game by running into a man, and we got off easy with that one. Should have lost that game.
You know, a lot of people say that he didn't get. We had injuries, but Wolverhampton, we had everybody, everybody but Rasmus, and the midfield got partied through. So he should have noticed then, like, oh, Casemiro can't do this shit. But he stuck to it. You know, I'm gonna tell you why I went to this game calm and numb when he did the interview. I know it was Gary Neville, and I know I put too much on his words, but when he said, I'm not going to change this because if it doesn't work, the players will get disappointed that you changed the system on them and it didn't work. And he said, another thing is when injury guys come back, I don't want to have to reteach this thing again. That makes no sense to me. That absolutely made no sense to me.
No.
Bizarre.
It was bizarre.
Jeremy Thomas Fergie changed his system over the time. He had to. He had no choice. He wouldn't have won the league all that time.
Exactly, yeah. Sean.
He had to keep changing. You know, the 90s, you know, you had Blackburn, then you had Arsenal, then you had Chelsea, then you had City. How many times did Fergie change that system to win a game?
To be fair, though, that was before, a lot of that was before we had a transfer window, right? You could just go and grab a guy at any time and it didn't fit. So people forget that. People forget, like, the transfer window is a relatively new thing, right? Like, you could go and just say, oh, I don't have this. Go get. And then we actually had scouts, guys that could see a guy like Nani, or, you know, we could pick out a youth player and say, let's put him in here. He got it wrong, too, now. But, you know, those things helped.
This getting it wrong is on a different level getting it wrong. And I know injuries are playing part, though. When we are we've broken the record for goals given up and all that type of stuff, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, we're setting all the wrong records.
we're setting all the wrong records.
We're on the record books for all the wrong reasons this season, right?
Yep.
Where are we in the table right now? Because I stopped looking.
Eighth. Mikey should know.
Below Chelsea.
Yeah, I think
below Chelsea. Chelsea has passed us on the table after clearing them 11 points.
Yeah.
They have now passed us on the table with plus 3 goal difference.
You guys realize when Ineos officially took over, you know how many points were out of fourth?
How many? I don't
Four.
Remember. Oh, wow. Wow.
So if this was his audition.
Exactly.
And I know injuries play a part. But at some point, you got to adjust your system and be like, all right, I can't do what I was trying to do with these guys. I got to. We're going to play with 16 midfielders. Everybody's. And 25 center backs. I don't care. Just do something different.
I'd also like to add that, like, being in the midst of a takeover.
It's rough.
Can't be good for the players, right? It can't be good for the staff. It creates insecurity in players, staff, guys don't know if they're going to be here, whatever the case may be. Now, that's supposed to build guys up to say, okay, I want to show I'm going to be here. But we've already seen that these guys capitulate at this, the sight of stress, right? The sight of, we can have the game wrapped up and they'll capitulate, right? So in a position of insecurity, they'll do the same. So I got to add that that can't be any good. So that's the Ten Hag's credit for sure. But you got to play up to that, to it, and show that you deserve to be there.
No, I know Ten Hag, like, said it wasn't true. But I agree with you there, Big Mike, because what came out of the weekend? Every player's for sale. I know he said it wasn't true, but like when he says, like, oh, you know, we're the exciting counterattack, he has to say something positive. He can't just walk on TV and go, that's shit, because look what happened to Jose Mourinho every time he said that. Bye, you're gone, fired. You know, so he has to say positive things. But overall, I got, like, for me, and this is going to be a big kind of thing for every Man United fan out there, and it goes back to a little bit what Big Mike said earlier. We're not Man United anymore, boys, and we have to accept facts. That. We're not the old Man United anymore. Embrace we need it. To accept that we are a sixth-place team. We are not running for the title, and we just need to start getting in players who want to play. I don't agree with that, actually. Like, that whole I love the badge thing, I don't agree with that. I love the badge. I ain't good enough to play for Man United, okay? Just not. But at the end of the day, we need to get players in, kind of like, I can never pronounce his name, the guy that scored two against us this weekend. Players like that, get Anthony out, like, get Rashford out, get the players, the ones the legs are gone, and start building players that want to be there but also are going to do a job. We got to get the recruitment right.
Bandito.
Yeah, and organizational-wise, it's mm-hmm. the same thing. Kat, that reception, is the only one that's secure in her job.
For real.
Is walking on ice. So there's the Ineos. It's obviously not a sporting, it's a chemical plant here in L.A., and I was talking to one of the guys that works there, and he said, Ineos culture is accountability. Like, everything is looked at, like, under a microscope. Are you performing? Performance accountability, that kind of thing. I was reading that Ineos is looking to cut, like, up to 20% of, you know, organizational costs. So that means, you know, people are going to lose their jobs. So this is what people are supposed to excel, you know, to the end of the season under these kinds of conditions. So it is tough. You hate to see that, but at the same time, you know, the culture of mediocrity was just running through United for too long, and it's something that has to change.
One last kind of last thing I wanted to say to you guys, and this is kind of a question on everyone. If you take all the injured players, like all the good players right now, like including Bruno, take them all away, and the team that Man United played with yesterday, name one manager in the Premier League that could have done could do well with that team.
Well,
Pep,
the word well is
Sean Dyche.
The word well is crazy.
Sean Dyche would do a job Dyche? With that team, because he figured out a way for Everton to beat Liverpool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but so did Ten Hag, to be honest with you.
But
yeah, it took 120 minutes, which we don't get in the Premier League.
Yeah,
Sean, we look so bad. We're unorganized on everything. We I don't want to say well. How about is there a Premier League manager who could organize that group better?
Damn.
Think about who's there, though. Oh God, think about who's there. So
I mean,
we had Anthony.
It would start with trying something different. It would start with knowing that we suck with the ball. Mm-hmm. It would start with knowing that we don't do the fundamentals well. It would start with, all right, this midfield gets run through. Let's stay compact. We're going to hit you on the break. We're going to play a low block. We're going to play five at the back. And we're going to play a nasty style of football that's ugly and is to grind out results, because we're not a good team, right? We are lower than mid-level team, right? If we're thinking that way. So, yeah, a lot of those lower-level coaches that have to coach every week with subpar teams and find a way, like a Luton or Nottingham Forest or guys like that. Hell, Palace. Palace is now catching form now, you know. They came in. They play an expense. They have a new coach. They play expansively. They give their guys freedom. The guys are doing well on the ball, and they have attackers that can put it in the back of the net. And they don't overcomplicate things. We reinvent the wheel every time. So I feel like there's guys out there that would be able to say, hey, okay, we suck. This is what we'll do to grind out results. But Ten Hag is just like, nah, I'm going to stay the same way and not make subs and until we're down 3 goals. In this, when the second goal went in, right, and then we went into halftime, I was like, you know what, maybe they'll turn. I still had hope. I was like, you know what, maybe they'll turn it around. Second half, that's what we do. It got worse. It didn't look good. It didn't look better. So I don't know. I think there's some coaches out there that are used to playing with worse players.
They
and
are,
will change and you're, adapt.
You're correct, but what have we been talking about? Mentality, and the players do not have it. Though, can those coaches come in and change the mentality of those players that we had on Monday?
They cannot.
I don't think there is anyone. Nope. I don't think that anyone can. And that's why we're not going to get better until they go. They have
for
to.
For sure.
Go. Any player that was for there sure. before Ten Hag pretty much needs to go.
And I think that's why I'm waiting for that. Sorry.
No, go ahead. It's just like it's every manager. Like it just seems like every manager we have, there's always a problem with the players. So get rid of all the players that were there before Ten Hag. Because look at what he did at Ajax. Damn, that football was beautiful. He had the players to do that. And that's the problem. We've got so many players from so many different managers that don't fit his style of play. And they just can't do it.
He could go right back to Ajax.
And that's what we're just waiting for, right? For Ineos to come in. Just like you said, Mike, just hold everyone accountable. All the players that don't fit that profile of a strong mentality, right? Of how to face adversity and not just fold at the first sight of adversity, to fight and grind through it, get rid of those type of players. We don't want those type of players, and just see what a Ten Hag can do with a type of player that fits the mold that Ineos, along with the coach, want. And like you guys said, give them till certain amount of time till Christmas. I mean, that's what I'm just waiting for. I'm waiting for that because these players, I feel like they don't fit that profile. Most of them, they don't have that strong mentality.
It's a bad mix of stubborn coach, stubborn as fuck coach with players who ain't got it. So he's not wanting to change what his vision when he came into the system. He's sticking to that. I think his biggest negative is his stubbornness, from what I've seen. And it starts with substitutions and leaving guys in too late because he's too loyal to a fault. And like, you know, I used to think Anthony was going to get him fired, but now I was just like, I think Rashford going to get him fired because you got to figure it out. You know what I'm saying?
Not Casemiro.
Maybe Mount.
I mean, you're naming some of the players that he chose, right? Like Anthony and Mount. So
the only person I think should be pissed on our team is Rasmus because he gets no service. None.
I think Onana should be pissed that he has to put up with 30 shots a game.
Pissed.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. That guy is incredible.
Man.
At the beginning of the season, I was like, out.
Same.
He needs a gold fucking medal.
Yeah. I think he gets a pass in just the many of shots he's taken.
And shout out to you, Big Mike. You were such a big Onana supporter when we were out here just bashing on him. So,
I think he's the least of our problems right now. Because the shot that we give up is crazy.
Speaking of problems, you want to look ahead to Arsenal?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. We got about 8 minutes. Bandito, I'm not looking for
it. Bandito got his hand up.
Go ahead, Bandito.
Yeah. I want to talk about some folks with a strong mentality, and that is the away fans.
Yes.
Fuck Arsenal. I talked to several people that were at that match. You know, it's a late kickoff, so the trains aren't going to be there coming back. So it's in coaches, down to the big smoke, and you know, Selhurst is not an easy ground to get to. So, cold, rainy night. Down the smoke, but they were making the most noise in the ground. So some of the things they talked about, like even though they were getting louder when we were getting scored on, like So some of the things that people said was, you know, we're going to show these players, you know, what supporting means. The club means, what supporting the badge means, you know, we're singing in defiance, you know, the worse they get, the more we want to chant, the more we want to shout down Palace. These players, they can look for their next move, their next club. We don't. We're here till the end. We're here for life. This is our club. You know, players come, go. Ownership, they come and go. Managers come and go. The fans will always stay. Uh-huh. This is some of the things folks that were in that crowd had to say. So one of the reasons I really like away days, it's Hardcore United, and it's a different vibe. It's a little moody. Uh-huh. But yeah, it's nonstop. You know, whether we're having a great performance, great goals, or we're stinking up the place, it's just nonstop support.
I agree, man. I've been in the away section in Villa Park, and oof, that was a crowd. Was,
yeah,
long time ago, but that was a crowd.
Yeah, those people don't. That's part of the whole frustration for everybody. I mean, away days, people have to deal with. That, you know, seeing Crystal Palace people throw up fours, and there was a picture of this gentleman was sleeping in the United section in the match.
This guy,
I think he was faking. But
yeah, you're getting home at 2 a.m. You know, you're 5-6 hours on the coach back to Manchester. You know, paying for your coach, paying for your ticket. You know, paying for your food and drink. Some people were even saying, like, the club should refund these people.
Oh, man.
You're not far off. I would.
Yeah. So based off of that, what's the prediction or what's the feeling like for this weekend's match?
I'm going to shock everybody here.
Yeah.
We'll save you for last then.
I mean, I hope, put it this way, I hope Arsenal isn't thinking about the 8-2 that we gave them. Thinking like,
why even this go there?
Is, I'm just saying, like, yeah. As a team, thinking like, yo, now is the time to really get back. Plus, we're trying to win the Premier League, so, like, we have to get it done. Win, and if we happen to score 8 or 9 or 10.
That's Arsenal's thinking?
Yeah.
Yeah, for me, same. I think, like, if we thought there were dark times on Monday that we were feeling like that, I think Sunday's going to just
like, that's be not worse. Play next.
Especially for your Sunday, he's going to ruin that.
Bandito, anybody want to chime in how you feel about the Arsenal matchup? We're going to save Sean for last because I want to get shocked.
Yeah, we got 3 minutes.
Real quick, listen. Back four, move out the way. Let them score. Let them win the league so City doesn't get their fourth. We're playing for nothing. I love this team. I always want to win. I always want to win. So it, with my heart, 2-0 United. But business-wise, for business sake, let them fucking win the league, man. Please. Please. I can't watch City do it again. I cannot.
Bandito.
Yeah, I think we get done in. they do us. They sack Ten Hag.
Wow!
They bring in Ollie because he's the city beater, and we win the FA Cup.
Oh,
I thought about that today. That's funny. Shout out to Bandito.
Nice.
You ready?
Yeah.
All right, surprise us.
2-1 Man United.
No.
What are you talking about, Sean?
Okay. Dude, what? Here's my thought on this. The last few times we played Arsenal. You look at Liverpool. We keep talking about how Ten Hag doesn't make changes. What do you do with Liverpool? What do you do with Arsenal? Last two times Arsenal beat us, it's been an extra time.
All right.
I think we get them 2-1. I think he makes massive changes for this game.
Wow, do something he's and never done all season.
Getting into Liverpool game in the FA Cup.
A result like that would that change your mind?
He's winning. Oh, beating Arsenal?
Yeah.
No.
That's just going to piss every Man United fan off.
Yeah, that's what it's going to do. Yeah,
exactly, right?
That's what it's going to do.
That's what's in my head, yeah.
We'll fire him for winning.
And for City winning the league, right? Oh, my God. Yep.
Well, it's a tough feel. It's a tough place for United supporters to be in. Honestly, I talked to somebody today, Old Head Red, and he said, I remember the relegation year, and I don't think it felt this bad. I thought it was being dramatic, but, you know, I've been trying to think back, when have we experienced our worst season? And I believe this is what it is. The big question is, we know players are going to leave. Is Erik ten Hag going to get the opportunity to continue on? And I'm trying to find a positive to keep him. And I don't like how I feel about that. This is today's show. I was kind of subdued because I've accepted reality. I want to thank everybody just chiming in. We had a lot of people watching today. All everybody's views. I didn't get the comments on my page, but I hope everybody did. Big Mikey, Bandito, Mike, Sean, you are part of the show. Respect to you. My guys in the studio, Cheese, Germ.
Yo.
Up the fucking Reds, and we're going to win 3-2. We're going to beat Arsenal 3-2.
Mushrooms, yo. Highly recommend.
Peace, everybody. Have a good one.
Peace, y'all. See you.
You are listening to Those Casual Reds with Casey Gale, Jeremy Sanchez, and Mikey Douglas, only on LA Talk Radio.